Blog Talk Radio.
Word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read me.
My name, King James Version. Born in 1611, I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend, but football was broke, but it ain't the way it be living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, open the Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Arm. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to come.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't wanna hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am, the saints. Blood on their hands.
Governments attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples on his field grind to remind them that the place they want to be is still
trying. I'm a bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power. I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails. Mortars the bomb. Seven plagues, seven seals. Vultures the swarm. Rage in the field. Soldiers, storms. The comings, the horns. You've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets, so my creators can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked it, you was once sober, but you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed
Yo,
to.
Yo, there's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff sensey. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth a
penny. And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival. I'm here to strengthen God's saints and the water's vital.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible. I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible, I'm the Bible.
I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting them. I'm the number one selling book of all time. I done made billions, but if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Laila Tawa, which means good night or good evening in the ancient Paleo Hebrew. I'm your brother, your friend, as always, Tazapa. Welcome to the show, y'all. Welcome back, man. I apologize for last week. Walk Talk was tripping again. But we are back, man. We are back. Welcome to Tazapa Tuesday. Put this light on so I can see, man. I hope everybody is healthy. I hope everybody's in good spirits. Hope everybody had a good weekend, a good Shabbat, especially going into this week, man, as we've got Memorial of the Blowing of the Trumpets coming up here Thursday, I believe, at sunset. Memorial of the Blowing of the Trumpets, which is one of the most high holy days that he commands us to keep and to celebrate. It's been quite some time since we've had a High Holy Day. The last one, I believe, was Pentecost, also known as First Fruits, which was quite some time ago. It was in the summertime. But now we're going into, I guess you could call it our winter feast or fall feast. So we have Memorial of the Blowing of the Trumpets. And then a week later, I believe, is Day of Atonement. And then a week after that is Tabernacles. So, man, it's an exciting time, man, an exciting time in the nation, man, to be an Israelite. We get to celebrate something. and I know a lot of us really, really get into the High Holy Days. I used to really get into it. I guess I got to get back into it, man. Some things happened to kind of kill the spirit of the High Holy Days, man. But I got to get it back, man. I got to get it back. Like the scripture says, don't let another man steal your joy. I got to get that back, man, and start operating, man, because these High Holy Days are very important just because we get together. We get together, man. And it's always a good thing when we get together and we're able to celebrate each other, to celebrate each other, and to celebrate each other's families, each other's children, each other's, you know, families, man. Just being together. This is what the Most High wants anyway. But he wants us to do it under his umbrella, man, under him. Under him, because we've gathered under many of things and we were not successful as a people unifying under those things. As a matter of fact, man, let me get this one. I think it's, yeah, it's one of the Johns. Let me find it real quick. Yeah, it's 2 John. 2 John chapter 1 and verse 4. Let's go there. So 2 John chapter 1 and verse 4, and it reads, I rejoice greatly that I found the children walking in truth, as we have received the commandment from the Father. Man, no doubt, no doubt. The brother say he rejoiced greatly. That he finds the children of the Most High, man, walking in truth, man. And it ain't like everybody is running around here saying this common saying that they got this day and age. Well, I'm speaking my truth. No, man. It ain't that. When it talks about, let me read it again. It says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received the commandment from the Father. So we received a commandment. It's the commandment from the Most High to walk in the truth. But is it your truth? Is it his truth? Is it her truth? No, it's one truth. And let's find out what the truth is, man. Let's go to St. John chapter 17, verse 17. To see what truth this is that the Most High commands us to be walking in. St. John chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So this is the truth that we're supposed to be walking in, that the brother John is referring to in 2 John chapter 1 and verse 4. When he says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. What truth? The word of the Most High. That's the truth. It says, as we have received the commandment from the Father. And no doubt we have received the commandment from the Father to walk and his word, which is the truth, man. So walking in that, man, being together, united in the word of truth, celebrating, about to go into these high holy days, the memorial of the blowing of the trumpets, Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, walking in the word, which is contained in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, and y'all can see that chapter. We're still commanded to walk in that truth and to keep these high holy days, man. Which, like I said, is a beautiful thing. A lot of sisters and brothers go out, go all out for these high holy days, man, as we should. Because we're in, like the scripture says, a perverse and wicked generation, a crooked nation, that being our red counterparts, who we loosely refer to as white, as well as Israelites. As well as us, man. A lot of us ain't right. We ain't right yet. But in the midst of this society, they celebrate. Matter of fact, they got a wicked holiday coming up. Halloween, demonic, pagan, idolatrous holiday coming up right around the corner. Y'all have seen they put the crap already in the stores. You know what's crazy about these wicked people, man? They'll have Halloween costumes put up, and then the next hour they got Christmas stuff. They can't wait to get to their little wicked holidays. It'd be a joyous occasion. Well, you know what, y'all? We should be the same way in righteousness. We should be excited and can't wait to get to our high holy days. Like I said, coming up Thursday, this Thursday at sunset, I believe, is the memorial of the blowing of the trumpet. Mashaba, please correct me if I'm wrong. In fact, I got a date for it here. Let me see. Yep. Hold up. That's Atonement. That's Memorial Act. Oh no, that's the mall. Let me make sure. No. It is Thursday. It's Thursday. Yep. More of the blowing of trumpets. Thursday at sunset. And we're here in San Antonio. I think the address is 4444 Walden, I believe, is the address. And we're gonna have some at the schoolhouse at 7 p.m. All right. Cool. And I want to send shouts out to our affiliated schools. The brothers here in San Antonio. What the hell is that? They're just gonna cut me off. I just heard the 90-second mark. What is that about? Oh, wow. I guess he set it up wrong. Yeah. He set the time up wrong. That's what he did. Hold on for a second, y'all. Hello. Sorry about this, y'all. I'm back. We have some technical difficulties, man. I don't know how long they're going to let me go because the show is not set up correctly. But I'm going to continue on with class this evening. So, like I was saying, sending shots out to our affiliated schools, the brothers here in San Antonio, the brothers down in H-Town, the brothers up in VA, man, special shout out to the brother Kazakia, man. All praise to the Most High, man, for brothers, for sincere brothers that are in the work, 10 toes down, man, and that are servants, man, truly servants of the Most High and Yahushua, ambassadors of Christ, man. Special shout out to that brother. He knows why. Also, man, shouts out to Zal Nala up in Rochester, man, doing big things, man. Seen him in New York City, man, on YouTube, man. A couple pictures. I guess they got some footage that they got to edit, but the brothers went up there and fellowship with some camps up in New York, man, street teaching, man. I'm excited to for them to release the footage, man, so I could check it out, man. But I know Zai Mala was excited, too. He was talking about it last week. So I hope the brothers enjoy, man, each other's company when they made the trip, man. But shout out to you, brother. Shout out to Ice and the crew in Albuquerque. The Water Ice, man, for sending me these articles. Ice been sending me a bunch of news articles and stuff. I really got to unpack them and do some more research on the stuff he's been sending me. But the Water, I keep sending them. Shout out to you and the crew out there in Albuquerque. Shout out to the brothers in AZ, man, Arizona, which I got to touch base with, man. I haven't talked to him in a minute. Also, shout out to the brothers and sisters in Canada, California, Atlanta. Shout out to Cabo Cobb down in Guatemala. And shout out to the 12 tribes scattered worldwide, y'all. So shout out to the nation, man. Like I said, I hope everybody's healthy. Hope everybody's in good spirits. A lot going on, y'all. A lot going on. I know this Diddy stuff is going on. And I'm not going to cover it, man. I have more pressing issues I'm going to discuss tonight. That's going on. I believe the trial. If y'all hadn't heard, we had our own Sonya Massey here in San Antonio, Hispanic lady. I forget the sister's name, and I got to dig into that. But we had the same situation happen here in San Antonio, and those officers are not being reprimanded. I believe they moved the trial or changed the trial date. I got to get some more information, but I'm going to go over it, man. Definitely. But I want to read this here, like I always do, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen, man. In light of all these things that I'm talking about and all the things that y'all see, whether it be on your phone feed or you hear it on the news or whatever, man, this is a prayer we definitely need to be praying, man, so we can get the hell up out of here, man. Things are getting worse by the day. Literally. All right, let's go to Psalms chapter 124. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We rejoice and be glad in it. Good or bad, happy or sad, the Most High brought you to it. He'll bring you through it, and you'll come out better on the other side because of it. Please believe me. All right, y'all. Let's go ahead and jump into it because, like I said, I don't know how much time I'm working with. But we're going to make it do what it do. All right, don't do that to me. Oh, here we go. Here we go. So I don't know if y'all heard, man. Of course, y'all should have been heard by now about the small hats bombing the hell out of the Gaza Strip, killing all those ragheads, Arabs, the so-called Palestinians, whatever. So it's been escalated, and it's been escalated to where the small heads have invaded Iran, man. So this is some of the aftermath of it, some of the things that are going down. Let me see if I can find this article. Yep. You get this one. Yeah, let me get this little dude first, because he's just about to have a tantrum on this. So I want y'all to listen to this right here.
The United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres today posted this.
Now, this is Wolf Blitzer on CNN, man. He had this former Israeli prime minister on his show give his take on the current actions of Iran, because the small heads did invade Iran, but Iran, well, they invaded Lebanon, and Iran struck back with these long-range missiles or what have you. So this is this former UN Security General, former Israeli Prime Minister going in. What, listen to this. Small hat.
Let me read it for you. This is what he said. I condemn the broadening of the Middle East conflict with escalation after escalation. This must stop. We absolutely need a ceasefire. Prime Minister, what's your response?
Now, this is what the UN Secretary General said. He said we need a ceasefire and all the things that you just heard Wolf Blitzer say, right? Now watch what the small head said, this former Israeli prime minister.
Shame on him. This guy is a clown. He's a clown because he cannot even bring himself to utter the words, I condemn the Islamic Republic of Iran for shooting 200 ballistic missiles on the Jewish state. He's condemning the broadening. What is the broadening? You ever met the broadening? I've never seen a broadening walk on the street. He's a coward. It's time for him to quit. The UN is a farce. If the United Nations cannot stand up and do what's necessary when one country is attacked by another, we did nothing to Iran. And for the past year, they've been making our lives miserable, not only ours, the entire Middle East. And instead of standing up for what's right, this coward cannot even bring himself to condemn Iran. Well, it's time for him to quit.
I told y'all he was going in, man. You know what I'm getting about the small hats, man? They don't care about, like, reality, like factual things that have happened that they have done, and they take no accountability for their actions. They remind me of women. Women have the hardest time being accountable for their actions. But anyway, that's a whole other story. This is who they remind me of. They're never held accountable for the things that they've done, man. They've been bombing the hell out of the Gaza Strip for almost a year now. They've been throwing Palestinians out of the West Bank, putting people out of their house that they paid for, just throwing them out of their house. And now they're getting mad, finally getting a taste of their own medicine. The Arabs are finally striking back, man. And this is good news, y'all. This is good news for us because it's getting closer to a world war. And that's what we looking for. That's what we waiting on. I'm going to go into the scriptures to show y'all why. Let me get this one right here and show y'all. I ain't making stuff up, man. This is what we on the verge of. Listen to this. This is from CNN also. It says, U.S. Navy destroyers fire a dozen interceptors against Iranian missiles, Pentagon said. So now the U.S. firing missiles at Iran. I'm telling y'all, it's about to be on. U.S. Navy destroyers fired roughly a dozen interceptors against Iranian missiles that were launched towards Israel on Tuesday. Oh, I'm sorry. They're firing the interceptors, not missiles. The interceptors are the things, the devices they fire to intercept the missiles from going off. So the U.S. is protecting, yep, you know who, the small heads, because the small heads run everything. They run everything, man. This has been proven time and time again. This is the reason they shut Kanye down, because what he come out and say, they run everything. This is the reason they shut, I forget the football player that came out and said the exact same thing. Nick Cannon is the reason they shut him down. This is what they do. They control everything. And they put you back in line, put you in check. But anyway, it says a U.S. Navy destroyer fired roughly a dozen interceptors against Iranian missiles that were launched towards Israel on Tuesday. Pentagon spokesman Major General Pat Ryder said Tuesday, the U.S. currently has three guided missile destroyers operating in the eastern Mediterranean. Let me read this again. The U.S. currently has three guided missile destroyers operating in the eastern Mediterranean. They over there, USS Arleigh Burke, USS Cole, and USS Buck, according to Ryder, the destroyers involved were the U.S. Buckley and the U.S. Cole, USS Cole. Ryder said also, U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin spoke a second time on Tuesday with Israeli Minister of Defense, I'm about to butcher his name, y'all, Yoav Gallant, after speaking with him before Iran's attack. He reaffirmed the United States' ironclad commitment to the defense of Israel and underscored that the U.S. remains were postered throughout the Middle East region to protect U.S. forces and defend Israel in the fact of threatened forms of Iran and Iran-backed terrorist organizations, Ryder said. So these boats or these destroyers are going to stay there. U.S. destroyers also took part in intercepting Iran's barrage of ballistic missiles and drones on April 13th, shooting down several of the missiles launched at Israel. So they've been attacking them. All right, let me go get this other article. All signs, man, is pointing to World War III, man. Let me get this. Still from CNN. More U.S.-based troops put on prepared to deploy orders to Middle East amidst rising tensions, the Pentagon said. An unspecified number of troops in the U.S. have been put on prepared to deploy orders, Deputy Pentagon Press Secretary Sabrina Sang said on Monday. Secretary Austin increased the readiness of additional U.S. forces to deploy, elevating our preparedness to respond to various contingencies, she said. I'm just not going to get into specifics for operation security reasons, but these forces cover a wide range of capabilities and missions, end quote. Sai also said that additional air defense support going to the region announced by the Pentagon on Sunday were units previously scheduled to deploy that will now be joining units already there instead of replacing them. So if they already got units there and they're going to send more. They said they're not going to replace the units that's been there. They added to it. All right, it says the reinforcement of air support capabilities, she said, includes a certain number of units already deployed to the Middle East region that will be extended, and the forces due to rotate into theater to replace them will now instead augment the in-place forces already in the region. It will include an additional few thousand service members in the region, she said. An additional few thousand. I can tell you these augmented forces include F-16, F-15E, A-10, F-22 fighter aircraft, and associated personnel, Sy said. Now, why does this matter? What the hell is Tyler Potts talking about? This is good news for us. Let me show y'all. Matthew chapter 24. Let's start at verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him, him is Yahushua, the Lord Moses Christ, privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So the disciples are asking Christ, asking Yahushua, when is going to be, what everybody be talking about, the second coming? Because they remember, they asked Christ, read it again, tell us, I'm in the middle of the precept, verse 3, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? So the second coming of Christ, this is what they asked him, because Christ had already informed them that he was going to die. He was going to die, he wasn't going to be with them. But they asked him, okay, when are you coming back? When is the second coming of Christ? All right, we know. Matter of fact, let me read verse 3 again. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Y'all see this? I'm not making this up. So this is during the time of Christ, and the disciples knew that the present world, that this world has an expiration date on it. They knew this back then. Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. So the first thing he said was, don't be fooled. Don't be tricked. Reading on, verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you see it, man. All the religions around the world are talking about who? Christ, talking about the second coming, spewing this nonsense that God loves everybody, Christ died for everybody, Christ loves you no matter what, Christ came for everybody, abusing and misinterpreting John 3:16 till they blew in the face. This is what Christ is talking about. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many, and they have. Reading on, verse 6. And ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. And as a matter of fact, let me go back to verse 5. It says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, this also includes us. And when I say us, I'm talking about the so-called Hebrew Israelite community, man. Because there are certain brothers that are teaching Christ falsely amongst us. But the scriptures even told us that it was going to be false prophets amongst us. So this should be no surprise, man. So it ain't just talking about pagan Christianity, y'all. It's talking about us as well. Because the scriptures even tell us that some will teach Christ out of contention. And that's what you see. A lot of brothers, they just want to be contentious. Well, your friends is that? Oh, you working on the Sabbath. I ain't messing with you. You wicked, you off. It's a lot of this going back and forth. A lot of this. So they just talking about, like I said, pagan Christianity. You're talking about us also. A lot of us are false prophets. We teach Christ falsely, and we have deceived many to where we think it is not about love. It's not about relationships. It's not about friendship. It's not about looking after each other. Some of us have perverted the name of Christ to where we've made Christ and his entry fee to the kingdom our own man-made laws. I'm going to leave it at that. Verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, and it's not yet. So, Now, remember, this was Christ during the time of the Romans he wrote this. Wars and rumors of wars. And there have been wars and rumors of wars since that time and even now. And even now. So, and I'm saying this to let us know that the decline and the end of the world has been drawing near for quite some time, y'all. For quite some time. And the current events are showing us that these prophecies that Christ predicted are coming to fruition. And hopefully sooner rather than later. Reading on in verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. Now, he said nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. What does that sound like to you, y'all? That sounds like a world war. That's what that sounds like to me. If you got a nation that's rising up against a nation, another nation, and a kingdom rising up against another kingdom, that ain't just one nation against another. That's a multitude of nations fighting against each other. Christ warned us of this. Now, let's see if the Bible substantiates this. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 11, verse 14. Revelation chapter 11, verse 14. The second woe is past. The word woe, y'all, means destruction. What goes on in war? A lot of destruction goes on in war. A lot of things get destroyed. So he says, reading again from the top, Revelation 11, 14. The second woe is past. What was he talking about? He's talking about World War II. The first war was World War I. The Great World War. They've written documentaries over it. They've got history books over it. And I'm not trying to downplay other wars that have happened in the world, but World War I and World War II were very tremendous wars. Why? Because literally, you had the whole world at war. Everybody had to pick a side. Either you was rolling with the Third Reich, or you was rolling with the, what was they called? Oh, man. The Annex something. Michelle, if you know the word I'm talking about, please help me out. I forgot what Great Britain, America, and U.S. was called. It was the Annex. I think that was it. But you had to pick a side. And this was a global war that affected everyone. The First World War, but then it's specifically the Second World War. It's the one I'm alluding to, which is talking about here in Revelation 11, 14. Reading this again. The Second War is past, and it is. It's been over. And behold, the Third Woe coming quickly. So it's letting you know World War III is coming quickly. It's right around the corner. Reading once again from the book of revealing, that's what the word Revelation means. Some things are being revealed here. The Third World War is on its way, y'all. Thanks be to the Most High. Thanks be to Christ. Praise the Most High. Praise Christ. Why? Because remember, going back to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3, what did they ask Christ? And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming? So the second coming of Christ and of the end of the world. And what did he tell them? Let's jump over to verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. So he's letting us know, remember they asked him for the signs. When is the sign of you coming back, the second coming? When you see nation going against war against each other. And we just got in Revelation chapter 11, verse 14, about the third woe coming quickly. So what does this mean? It means Yahweh Shai, Christ, is on his way back, y'all. Let me continue to prove this. Let's go get the book of Joel. Let me get chapter 3. We're going back to Matthew, y'all. Let me put a bookmark there. Go to Joel. Chapter 3, and let's start at verse 9. Listen to this. Proclaim ye this among the Jesus. I'm sorry, let me read it again. I'm too excited. So this is the book of Joel, chapter 3, verse 9. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. The word Gentiles also means heathen. So he let this be known among the Gentiles, among the heathen. Now listen to what he says. Prepare war. What is he telling the nations to do? Prepare for war. The word Gentiles also means nations too, y'all. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. So wake up your generals. Wake up your leaders. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. It's the time we're in. Verse 10. Beat your plowshares into swords. So your instruments that you use to work, we're going to use them for weaponry now. And your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong. So this is why you got nations that were previously known as nations that weren't so strong. They were weak nations. But you got them rising up now, becoming strong nations by way of commerce, by way of trade, by way of natural resources. This is why America be going against all of these so-called third world countries or poor countries and taking all their natural resources out of them, because they know that this prophecy right here that we're reading is going to come to fruition. It's going to come true because these nations are starting to use their own natural resources and put America and all the American allies out of their country and get their little greedy little grubs off of their natural resources and start using their natural resources for themselves. And benefiting from the commerce that brings in. Because if you get that commerce, now you got some power. You get power, now you can get an army. Get that army, now you can build allies. Now you can build those allies, man. And let's not forget, we still got the war in Ukraine going on. So we got the war in Ukraine going on against Russia. And Russia has allies, like Ukraine has allies. And nobody really been talking about this. Russia's a communist country. Who else, what other countries going to be down with Russia? All the other communist countries, like China, like North Korea, and all the rest of the communist countries. Hell, I believe Cuba is still communist. And they have a relationship with Russia. And Russia has relationships with a lot of countries in South America, right at America's doorstep. Y'all remember the Cuban Missile Crisis, right? Go back and research that. And Cuba was a weak nation, but their ally Russia made them strong, put them damn nukes right on the island of Cuba, which is like 90 miles away from the tip of damn Florida, from Miami. Read this again. Joel chapter 3, verse 10. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong. So once again, these nations that was formerly weak are becoming strong now. Verse 11. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen. It didn't say some, it said all. What is that but a world war? It says, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither, cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. And this is where the Most High is getting into it. Verse 12. Let the heathen be wakened. So the nations be wakened. and come up to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Now, the Valley of Jehoshaphat is the valley or the place of judgment. It's going to tell us in the same chapter. We're going to keep reading. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. So the Most High said, bring all these nations. Bring the world war. And I'm going to judge them. And we're going to find out how you're going to judge them. Verse 13. Matter of fact, let me see. Verse 13. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the fat overflow, for their wickedness is great. When he's talking about the sickle, he's talking about the harvest. When he's talking about the harvest is ripe and the press being full and overflowing, he's talking about the grapes. It's making the analogy or the comparison to the grape harvest, the wheat harvest. You know, like all those parables that Christ was dropping in the New Testament where he talks about the wheat and the tares. Y'all can go back and get that in your own time. I ain't got time to cover that right now. And then even in the Old Testament where Christ said that he tread the winepress, this is what it's talking about. And that winepress ain't talking about wine at all. It's talking about blood. Because in that same chapter in Jeremiah, he talks about how he was going to have stained garments full of the nation's blood. We're going to get to it. Verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. So what is the valley of Jehoshaphat? Is the valley of decision, the valley of judgment. Now watch this. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision or the valley of judgment. Man, this is where the Most High is going to judge all the nations during the time of World War III, wherever it's going to take place at. Now, let's go to, let's go to 2 Ezra chapter 13. Let's get what's going to be the nation's judgment when they get brought down to the valley of judgment or the valley of decision. So 2 Ezra chapter 13, we're going to start at verse 29. It says, behold, the days come when the Most High will begin to deliver them that are upon the earth. So when it talks about deliver them, it ain't talking about everybody. It says deliver them which are upon the earth. It's a certain specific group of people. Matter of fact, he's going to keep reading. It says, and he shall come to the astonishment of them that dwell on the earth. So people are going to be astonished. We're going to find out why. And one shall undertake to fight against another, one city against another, one place against another, one people against another, and one realm against another. It's talking about, once again, World War III, that third war that is talked about in Revelation chapter 11, verse 14. It's talking about the same thing. You got all these people fighting against each other. And all it says, and one realm against another. So when it talks about realms fighting, you're going to get the significance of that. Let's go to 2 Maccabees, chapter 5. Verse 1. It says, about that same time, Antiochus prepared his second voyage into Egypt. And then it happened that through all the city, for the space of almost 40 days, there were seen horsemen running in the air in cloth of gold and armed with lances like a band of soldiers. So where were these horses and all of these lances of gold and bands of soldiers at? They were running in the air. Now, is he talking about people, physical people running in the air? Let's find out. And troops of horsemen in array, encountering and running one against another with shaking of shields and multitude of pikes and joint of swords and casting of darts. So this is a war that's going on. And remember, it said they was in the air. And you can find out if it's talking about people. It says, and glittering of golden ornaments and harnesses of all sorts. Wherefore, every man prayed that that apparition might turn to good. An apparition is talking about spirits, y'all. Talking about spiritual entities. It ain't talking about people. It's talking about what the world would call ghosts. But these are spirits that everybody could see that it was visible. They were in the air. Everybody could see this. And that's why they was hoping that it might turn to good. But remember, going back to 2 Ezra chapter 13, and what verse were we in? Verse 31, when it talks about one realm against another realm. Because before these things happen on earth, they manifest in the spiritual realm. We'll read this again, 2 Ezra chapter 13, verse 31. And one shall undertake to fight against another, one city against another, one place against another, one people against another, and one realm against another, man. And how do we know this to be true? Let's get Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. I'm going to show y'all. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, and it reads, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities." Now, the definition for principalities is strong demonic demons. That's the definition for principalities, or spirits. Let me read this again, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places," y'all. You see this? It's telling you what principalities is. Spiritual wickedness. Y'all see this? So this goes right hand in hand with 2 Maccabees chapter 5 and verse 4, where it talks about those apparitions. Now let's go get 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. Still dealing with the spirits, the apparitions, y'all. So we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. "For we wrestle," "for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." Y'all see this? "But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So the weaponry that we're supposed to be using is the scriptures. That's what we're supposed to be using, the spirit of the Most High. You always hear brothers talk about the spirit, the spirit, the spirit is the book. Remember what Christ told us in St. John chapter 6 and verse 63. He said, "It is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profited nothing. These words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So those are these are the weapons that we need to be using, the Bible, to clean ourselves up. Let me read this again. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So you're supposed to be using this on us. Because we get some brothers that want that thing that we're supposed to grab guns and take over the country and just kill Esau, kill Whitey. No, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." We're supposed to be using the scripture. This is the best weapon that we have that we could possibly use. And I'm going to show you, because Christ, that's how he's going to destroy the nations. Watch. It says, "For the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." All right, y'all. That's what the scriptures do. That's what we're supposed to be using them for. But I brought us here to show us that what we think is a carnal battle is a physical battle. And everything that manifests physically, it manifests first in the spiritual realm. All right? It manifests first in the spiritual realm. Now, let's go back to 2 Ezra chapter 13. And let's pick up in verse 32. And we went there, remember, because of verse 31 said that people are going to be fighting and one another in every realm, right? Verse 32 now. And the time shall be when these things shall come to pass, and the signs shall happen which I shew thee before. And then shall my son, Yahushua Christ, be declared, whom thou sawest as a man ascending. Because he's given him the interpretation of the vision. And you can go back and read same chapter from verse 1. Now, what the angel's doing is breaking down this vision to Ezra. So reading on, he's giving them the interpretation of it, of his dream. Verse 33. And when all the people hear his voice, every man shall in their own land lead the battle. So when they hear the voice of Christ, all the nations that's gonna come against each other, be fighting against each other, verse 31, like it told us in Matthew chapter 24, nation rising against nation. When they hear the voice of Christ, it says, and when all the people hear his voice, every man shall leave in their own land. So every man shall in their own land leave the battle they have one against another. So when they see Christ crack the sky, when they see Yahushua crack the sky, they don't stop fighting each other. Watch this, verse 34. And an innumerable multitude shall be gathered together, as thou sawest them willing to come, and to overcome him by fighting. This innumerable multitude is going to be the nation. All the nations of the earth coming together to fight against Christ. All the so-called Christian nations coming together to fight against their supposed Lord and Savior. Verse 35. But he shall stand upon the top of the mountain of Zion. The mountain means government. Telling us that Christ is going to stand on the top of his people, which are the Israelites. He's going to say, now watch this. And Zion shall come and shall be shewed to all men, being prepared and build it like as thou sawest the hill graven with our hands. So we're talking about Zion, y'all. It's talking about the Israelites. This Zion goes back to a hill, which was also called a mountain that was in the land of Israel, Mount Zion. So he's talking about the people, talking about the Israelites. And it says that, let me read it again, verse 36, and Zion shall come and shall be shewed to all men. Now, how are we, the Israelites, going to be shown to all men? Watch this. Let's go to Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5 now. Old Ezra, y'all. Let's go to Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5. And we're going to start with 1. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 1. Then shall the righteous man stand in great boldness before the face of such as have afflicted him. The righteous man being us, the people that afflicted us, meaning the nation, and made no account of his labor. So the nations made no account of our labor. They didn't count our labor for their success. Like America, like Trump running around now talking about make America great again. Who made America great in the first place? It was all the indigenous people and all the slaves that you brought over to build your country. This is what it's talking about. They made no account of our labor. They took all the credit for everything that we did. They took all the credit. No different than they still do. They still are invention. Look at the inventor of Jack Daniels. Come find out a slave invented it, but his master took the ownership and the credit for it. Look at the Ancient Mama pancake. They stole that sister recipe. Now I want to change the name on the box to get you to feel like she wasn't a slave, to get you to feel like they weren't inhumane, to get you to feel like they weren't animals, that they ain't animals. They don't account for our labor. They take all the credit for themselves. Verse 2, when they see it, they shall be troubled with terrible fear. So when they see our salvation, it's going to tell us they're going to be troubled with fear and shall be amazed at the strangeness of his salvation. They're going to be amazed of the strangers, because they're going to see them chariots coming from the sky, those so-called UFOs. It says, so far beyond all that they look for. This was beyond all that they thought. Because a lot of people think that Christ loves everybody, according to what Christ told us in Matthew chapter 24, those false teachers, those false prophets coming in his name. Verse 3, and they repenting and groaning for anguish of spirit shall say within themselves. Repenting mean they feeling like they should have changed or they want to change now. This was he whom we had sometimes in derision, and a proverb of reproach. Who could this be talking about? A proverb is another word that you go by. It's also known as a byword. And what they call us, whether it be a nigger, whether it be an African-American, whether it be black, whether it be minorities, whether it be Hispanic, Latino, Latinx, Spix, wetbacks, migrants, whatever term they want to put on us. This is what it's talking about. Read this again. And they repenting and groaning for anguish of spirit shall sway within them, say within themselves, this was he whom we had sometimes in derision. And a proverb of reproach. We shame these people. They just some niggas and wetbacks. Verse 4. This is them coming to their senses, though. We fools accounted his life madness. And they do. What did that nigga, I'm sorry, that Edomite say on the Godfather movie? Godfather Part 2, I believe, when they was counseling about selling dope in our areas, in our neighborhoods. He said, sell it to the niggas in the sticks. He said, they're animals anyway. Let them lose their soul. This is what it's talking about, verse 4. We fools accounted his life madness. Oh, them people ain't number drug addicts and hoes and pimps. They God don't even love them. They ain't got no God. They ain't even people. This is what they say. It says, in his end to be without honor. And they do. They say, we ain't got no honor. Because in their mind, we ain't got no God. It says, verse 5. How is he, this is what I want to get to, listen to this. How is he numbered among the children of God? They're going to be scratching their head trying to figure this out. The people that y'all have hated so badly and took advantage of for centuries, how the hell are they children? How are they the Israelites? And it says, and his lot is among the saints. And according to Psalms chapter 148, verse 13, we the saints of the Most High, man. All right, going back to 2 Ezra now. Chapter 13. In verse 37, and this my son shall rebuke the wicked inventions of the nations. Christ don't rebuke them. It says, which for their wicked life are fallen to tempest. So this is why they're going to be destroyed by the tempest or the storm that Christ is going to be wondering, which is that destruction leading on. And shall lay before them their evil thoughts, and the torment wherewith they shall begin to be tormented, which are like unto a flame. And he shall destroy them. The hymn is talking about Christ. Christ is going to destroy the nations. And listen to this. Without labor, by the law, which is like unto fire. So it says without labor. I mean, he ain't going to have no weapon, per se, in his hand. He's going to destroy them by his mouth, by the fire that's coming out of his mouth. And like I say, y'all can go back. Matter of fact, let me get it real quick just to show y'all. Same chapter, verse 10. But only I saw that he sent out of his mouth. Man, let me read up. Verse 8. And after this I beheld, and lo, all they which were gathered together to subdue him were sore afraid. Come up the nation. And yet thus fight. So the nation's going to be scared, but they still going to fight. It says, and lo, as he saw the violence of the multitude that came, he neither lifted up his hand, nor held sword, nor any instrument of war, but only I saw that he sent out of his mouth as it had been a blast of fire. What was coming out of his mouth? What we just read in verse 38, the law, the scriptures. It says, but only I saw that he sent out of his mouth as it had been a blast of fire, and out of his lips a flaming breath. So Christ blowing fire out of his mouth, and out of his tongue he cast out sparks and tempests. Christ's going to be using the elements to destroy the nation. It's bad, man. What we at? Verse, jumping back over, verse 39. And whereas thou sawest that he gathered another peaceable multitude unto him, so the peaceable multitude, not the nation, he's talking about totally different group of people, totally different group of people. Verse 40. Now listen to it. It's going to tell us who those people are. Those are the 10 tribes which were carried away prisoners out of their own land in the time of Hosea the king, whom Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, led away captive, and he carried them over the waters, and so came they into another land. So this is talking about, in the Bible, he's known as Shalmaneser. When Shalmaneser and his lineage took the Israelites out of our land, talking about the northern kingdom, the so-called 10 lost tribes that many of books have been written about. So this is the 10 tribes it's talking about Christ is going to be gathering right here. And we know that those 10 tribes are here in the Americas and have been here since before 1619. We know. But they took this council among themselves. Matter of fact, let me see. Here's the 10 tribes, y'all. Because I ain't really got time to finish this. Let's go back to Matthew chapter. It's talking about Israel. It's talking about he's going to come together the 10 tribes. So what about the other three? He's going to gather us too, y'all. He's going to gather us too. Matthew chapter 24. Or the other two, I should say. Matthew 24 says, going back to verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So this stuff we hear about, this came out, Iran and the U.S. troops, all these are the beginning of sorrows, y'all. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Now this is coming. We're going to be delivered up to be afflicted. It says, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Let's not forget the Maccabees, y'all. Weren't we killed during the time of Antiochus? Weren't we slaughtered for keeping the law, statutes, and commandments of the Most High, to where we had to go into the catacombs for succor so we could be comforted, so we could still worship and praise the Most High? There's nothing new under the sun, y'all. And we gonna be killed off. A lot of us are going to die. That's what our scriptures ask. What shall separate you from the love of Yahweh Shai? I'm sorry, it says who, then the names of what? It says verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. We going to be hated. Hell, we hated now. The nations have a love-hate relationship with us. They love our culture, but they hate the hell out of us. Verse 10, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. This going on right now also. A lot of us are offended because of the scriptures and because of each other, because of the scriptures, and we betraying one another, turning our back. You see the real person start to come out, man. In different situations. Verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, man. And this is where we are. We're in the last days, man, because a lot of people's love and compassion has dwindled. Now, we have to beware. We have to beware, y'all, as Hebrew Israelites, that we don't fall into the same thing to where we start becoming cold-hearted, hateful, unforgiving, uncompassionate people, because this scriptures hold true. Because of the iniquity, because sin is running rampant everywhere, because nobody's trying to do the right thing, people are going to go cold. We have to be aware of this, y'all, so that we don't start to grow cold. That we, like Christ said, we continue in our first love. And our first love should be each other. I'm sorry, it should be the Most High. Then it should be each other. It says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved, y'all. So we got quite a ways to go for the end. A lot of stuff has to take place before the second coming of Christ, before Yahweh Shah comes back, man. So y'all be on the lookout. I'm definitely going to be on the lookout, keeping my ears open to current events and the things that are going on around the world, because we are awaiting the return of our Savior, Yahweh Shah, Mashiach Yahweh Shah, y'all. Definitely. All right, y'all, I'm going to take a brief intermission and come back and continue, hopefully, with Galatians chapter 4. Y'all, I'll be right back.